Praise God. We do appreciate you being in the house of the Lord with us, and we ask God to bless you this morning. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Believing God to minister to us with the power of his love today. I do hope that you are keeping up with what's going on in the world around us. What's happening around our, not only our world, but the entire world. As we see things coming to pass, the Bible said were going to happen, it needed to come to pass, and prepare ourselves for the inevitable, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading from the book of Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. And the unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that for a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But they that believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today and help us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For we give you praise for the things we receive from you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, "This morning, God is going to set you free." I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject I'll simply entitle The Spell Breaker. The Bible tells us that this guy Simon had the city under a spell, basically. You know, he basically had them just jumping anytime he moved to any tune he wanted them to dance to. All they had to do was just whatever he said was what they had to accomplish. He had such great respect that they never even questioned him. They actually said, "He is the great power of God." I want you to notice this is a problem that we have a lot of times, but there's something in there I like. Even Simon eventually believed. I don't know of anybody that's so far removed from God that sooner or later God can't touch them and bring them to their knees and see them born again, the power of God. Amen. I have never met anybody that God can't save, that God can't move in their life and change them. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. I travel for 35 years. I've been on most of the continents in this world. I preached where they had voodoo. I preached where they've had Satanism. Amen. I've seen a satanic witch get saved. I've seen the high priest of that coven get saved. I saw 19 members of that conclave in Clay County come to the altar and give their heart to God in revival, because there's a God that can change people's lives. And it doesn't matter what kind of spell they're under. My God is a spell breaker. My God can set you free. Could you say amen? Amen. Praise God. The book of Acts. You know, we get to that place where we try to find out what we're doing. You know, we read the book of Acts, and we've had people say, well, that's the Acts of the Apostle. And that's really what it says in the Bible. You know, I rename my books. And I said, you ain't supposed to do that. Well, it is if you just give them more clarification. You read my Bible, you'll find Nehemiah is the handbook on prayer. The book of Acts, that's a misnomer. It is a book that writes down the Acts of the Apostles. But if you read the very first verse, you find out this is a continuance of my former treatise. Continued my former writing. How did he end up the writing? These are the things Jesus Christ began to do and to teach while he was on the face of this earth. So the book of Acts is not just a history of the Acts of the Apostle. It is still Jesus Christ and what he was doing on the earth, only it's extended through the disciples and the church. And what we see is just a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's why he said to the disciples, greater things ye shall do because I go to the Father. Why greater? Because there be more of you anointed with the same power. And church, today it ought to be even greater things being done by the church than was ever done in the days. Could you say amen? Listen, the Bible said they were in the upper room and there came a sound from heaven. Glory. Isn't it awesome? Glory. We need to hear that kind of sound in the church again. We need to hear from God. We've heard enough theology. We've heard enough man's wisdom. We've heard enough people enforce themselves for their social theology. I'm sick of people trying to tell me this book ain't really for this generation and it won't work. We need a move of God that we can hear from heaven and let the power of God just begin to shake us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. If we've ever needed anything, we need to find an altar somewhere and stay there until God begins to move in our life and the breath of God begins to flow in our veins. Could you say amen? Acts is basically the genesis of the church. It's the beginning of the church. The church is formed in that upper room when they heard a sound from heaven. Amen. And let me tell you something, church. The devil doesn't mind you coming to church. Hello? You ask people why they're here, you're going to find out everybody's not here because they come to hear a word. Some are here because this is what we always done. I'm supposed to be in church this morning. They don't care whether they hear a word or not. They're just supposed to be here. Some are here because of business. They think they might be able to get another job if they go to church with somebody that might have a job being posted. Come on, church. Why are y'all looking around? Some of y'all ain't here for the right reasons either. I just ain't got to them yet. See, we got some came because they're looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse in the future. Hello? What are you getting at? Everybody didn't come to church because they wanted to hear a word. Not only that, Satan loves to pollute the move of God by having people looking for everything but a real move of the power of his grace. Amen. I'll be honest with you, church. And I left the house this morning a little after 5. I came to this church thinking about something else I was going to preach. And I had the outline all set. And the Lord basically said, if you preach that, I'll probably strike you with something, and I didn't want nothing. Glory. I know some of y'all sitting there say, wait a minute, no, it don't take long for me to learn. I learned early age. God says, preach it, you preach it. Amen. I was preaching revival. I was about 20 years old. I'm driving all the way up to the north part of the state to preach. And I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I never forget, the pastor told me before the morning service, he said, the only thing we got to look forward to is a dead in Christ is going first. Some of y'all believe that too. Look at you, punch your neighbor like, who's he talking to? Glory. If you feel guilty, you probably are. Glory. Hello? Y'all not going to believe this. If my hand's going to be free, she's got to come help me. Two things have got to happen. I've got to gain weight. These suspenders got to quit popping. I think it'd be easier for me to gain weight. This is what good spouses are for. Just snap the thing on. Oh, Lord. You don't need to dress me. I see, I actually went to church to meet somebody. So I'm not just throwing off on some of you. Amen. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 that God sent such a move that it turned the world upside down. But you see, here's the problem. We're just like those people. See, once God moved in the upper room and pushed them out in the street and had 3,000 souls saved, they kept going back to the temple thinking, oh, one more time. We're going to have it just like we used to. It's going to be so wonderful. And it never happened. Hello? And they tried to make a monument out of the move of God instead of using it to move somewhere else. And you know what's wrong with some of us in the church? Oh, we got a touch, and we think we're going to get it just like we did the last time, and we keep trying to get it like we did the last time. Come on, church. I remember one revival. I had a lady come down, and she comes strolling up to me, and she looked at me, and she said, pray for me. I want to get my dance back. And I reached up, touched her on the head, and whoo, here she went. She hopped around there on one leg for a while, and she shouted, and bobby pins went everywhere, and hair come down all over the place. And the next night, she come up there, and she said, pray for me. I lost my dance. I'm like, boy, it must have been a rough day. I got to noticing every night all she wanted was her dance. So one night, I didn't turn her loose. I put my hand on her head, and I grabbed her hand so she couldn't do her dance. And all of a sudden, finally, the dance got out of the way and God came in. Next thing you know, she sprawled out on the floor, out in the spirit, speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost got a hold of Kepler there for 3 hours. And the preacher told me, he said, let her dance next time. Glory. He was joking, but we had to wait. Finally, her husband had to come get her. We helped put her in the car, and they carried her home. Next night, she came, started confessing to all kind of junk because she finally got her life cleared up. She wasn't dancing anymore. She was letting God move. Can I tell you, some of y'all have drove up a stake on something you should have let gone a long time ago. That dance you got 20 years ago was a 20-year-ago dance. You need something new. You need a fresh move of God. You need a fresh touch of God. You need to get out of the upper room and get out in the world and let God use you for something in his kingdom. Could you say amen? Glory. Come on, church, that's good preaching. Say, preacher, you got scripture for it? Sure, 2 Timothy, Paul said this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses, leading captive silly women, taking their sins, lead away the diverse lusts, even ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Hey, man, what are you talking about? These are the ones that's so busy shouting and doing the same thing all the time. God can't touch them anymore. Preacher, you against shouting? No, sir. The devil could care less how much you shout. Hello? What are you talking about? You can shout all you want to, but unless you've been praying and reading the Bible, the devil laughs while you're dancing. Come on, church. I can give you scripture for it. The children of Israel are in a battle. The sons of Eli that have been offering strange fire on the altars are out leading the tribe. And the next thing you know, the Philistines are fixing to whoop them, and they go back, and without permission of the prophet, they take the Ark of the Covenant of God and they carry it down into the valley where the children of Israel are camped. And they bring it in the camp, and everybody goes to shouting. And man, the Philistines go, oh man, we in trouble. Every time that thing shows up, we get whooped. Every time their God shows up, we're in trouble. I see one of the old Philistines leaned over and said, you know, I've been in some of them battles. That ain't the right shout. That ain't the right move. They may have God there, but his presence ain't there. That may be their ark, but the God that just whoops us ain't showed up yet. And they went down, and what did they do? They destroyed the children of Israel, took the Ark of the Covenant back to their city. Amen. Killed the two sons that were supposed to be in charge. You say, what are you getting at? There's a lot of a shout without any cloud, and the devil could care less how much you shout if you don't pray and you don't read the word of God. But when you've been alone with God and God gives you a move, it'll translate your life. You might shout, but it's going to move because he's going to realize somebody else just got loose in God. And the devil don't care if you get loose without God, but if you get loose in God, he knows something's fixing to happen. Something's fixing to move. God is fixing to tear down some walls with somebody. Woo. I don't know why I preach these sermons on Sunday morning. It messes some of y'all up. Might be because you don't ever come back. No. Hallelujah. Listen, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. God allows persecution. The Bible said in persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the region. So what are you talking about? God sometimes allows persecution to move us forward. We receive direction from persecution sometimes. So I said, what are you talking about? Well, you got Joseph. I mean, he was persecuted by his brothers. Granted, he brought it on himself. He had a vision. Instead of keeping his mouth shut, he tried to tell his brothers about it. Nothing wrong with that except for the fact that the vision was his brothers were going to bow in front of him. They were already mad because they thought he was the favorite son. And when he said, y'all got to bow before me. One of them looked up and said, let's fry this jerk. Hello? Oh, they faked his death. Sold him into slavery. Killed two birds with one stone. Got a little extra cash and got rid of the problem. He ends up down there working for Potiphar. Next thing you know, his wife lies about him, puts him in prison. Bumps into a good friend while he's in prison. Tells him how to read dreams. The guy tries to use that to get out, finally gets to a dream he can't read. It belongs to Pharaoh. And they find out Joseph's the one that's got the ability. And they bring Joseph up and he reads the dream. And Pharaoh says, oh, I'm going to make you second ruler of the kingdom. I'm going to put you in charge of the food. And what happened? Well, the famine was in the world. Jacob sends all them boys to get some food. And just as Joseph told them, they knelt in front of him. And after it was over, he finally said, hey, guys, stand up. I'm your brother. I'm the one you sold into slavery. I'm the one that ended up in prison because of y'all. But you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I got direction in my life because y'all treated me like a piece of trash. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people today that when persecution comes, it's all poor, pitiful me. It's not, oh, let me see what I can do for God. It's worry about what's happening in my life. You need to understand sometimes God has shook your life up to move you to a different place so you can do something for him. Woo! Come on, church. Doesn't matter what gets you to turn to God as long as you make the next move. God for your life. Hello? Notice what happened. The Bible said they went all over. God said it's time to quit preaching in Jerusalem. He's moving on some of them to leave. And they're going, no, man, it's too good. This is where it happened. We don't need to leave here. Hello? And God shook them up, and they left, and they went places. And notice what happened. The gospel started going with them. Hello? So what are you talking about? Bible said they began to preach, and the gospel began to be preached all over the place. Why? Because God shook them up, sent them out of Jerusalem. Amen. Notice this. God shook Philip up, got him out of his comfort zone. Amen. The Bible said Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. It was good for him to be afflicted. Something you're crying about may actually be something that's fixing to become a blessing of God. Amen. You may have got fired, but God may have a blessing around the road that's going to get you a job you're going to have for the next 20 years that'll be a whole lot better than one you just got fired from. But you can't see it yet because you're still hung up on getting fired. Come on, church. Some of you ladies need to go find your ex-husband and thank the Joker for doing you like he did because you finally got to marry a real man. Glory. Some of you guys ought to go find the girl that broke your heart and say, baby, thank you because of you I found out what a real woman was all about. Glory. Oh, I'm losing some of y'all, but I'm preaching the truth. Glory. Instead of being mad at them the rest of your life, you ought to thank them for letting you loose. Glory. It's good to be afflicted. Sometimes when we're crying, it's because God's fixing to give us something to shout over. Amen. Listen, Psalms 30:11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off the sackcloth and girded me with gladness to this end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give you thanks unto thee forever. Psalms 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For I have decided that I'm happy no matter what's going on. That's what we got to do. There is nothing in this world worth crying about, because I understand that sooner or later, God's going to turn my mourning into dancing sooner or later. That song's going to come in the night sooner or later. God's going to open up a fresh power and anointing in me, and everything's going to, come on, church. Hallelujah. Psalms 84, for this is the day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Amen. I had rather be doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is the power in thy hand to do it. What did he say? God's not going to hold back anything when it's in his power to do it. If you'll just hang on just a little longer, God is going to give you a shout in the middle of your tears. Could you say amen? Woo! Trouble will move you forward and not take you backwards. Hello? Well, preacher, you don't know. No, I've been there, done that, wore the t-shirt. I know what I'm talking about. I know what it is to get the wrong answer and have to learn how to live with it. But I also know what it is to hear God get involved. Come on, church. I know what it is to have the doctor look at you and say, listen, your wife's got about 15 years of life. And then there's nothing we can do about it. That was 26 years ago, almost. I also remember the day he walked back in the room and said, I don't know what your wife had, but she don't got it no more. Hello? Well, they told us it was malignant lupus, but they decided that wasn't it because there's no cure for that. And they couldn't explain how it disappeared. They also couldn't explain why we couldn't have kids, but yet we've got two. So what are you getting at? Some of you may not know what brought me here, may not know why I am here, but everything I am was created by the things I've been through. And I thank God for the valleys, and I thank him for the trials. I thank him for the trouble he's brought me through, because I know there is a God that is here and is able to take care of me. Could you say amen? Woo! Hallelujah. So the Bible said Philip goes down to Samaria. Why did God choose Samaria? And I'm hurrying. I know it's 12 o'clock. Some of y'all sitting back there crying. He's going to preach a long time. This may be part two tonight, and those of you who don't come back, I'll miss it. Why did Philip go to Samaria? He could have gone a lot of places, but he felt led of God to go to Samaria. A pagan city, eat up with paganism, eat up with all kind of junk. They're following Simon the sorcerer. They're chasing a man that can do miracles. But he goes there because, you see, God already planted a seed in that town. Hello? God planted a seed that was getting ready to be harvested, and he wanted to show up for the harvest. So we're talking about John 4:4. Jesus made this statement, I must needs go through Samaria. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Jews hated Samaritans. They didn't like them. It was worse than Palestinians to them. And yet Jesus said, I got to go through Samaria. And they're going, why? It's out of the way. I don't care. I got to go. He said, I must need go to Samaria. Why? Because he was planting a seed. So that when Philip showed up, something would be there already deep inside, that all he had to do was nurture it a little bit and a harvest would come. Come on, church. John 4:22. He said, ye worship, ye know not what. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. You know what he said? He said, I know y'all so dumb, y'all don't even know what you worship. Y'all just worship. We got folks like that. They don't know what they believe. They just believe. They ain't got no clue what they really believe. And I'm not talking to people that's not Christian. We got people in this church never read a Bible, never open it up. They don't know a clue. They ain't got a clue about what's going on in Scripture. Yeah, they talk about, I believe God. How can you? You don't know what you can believe. You talk about, I'm standing on the promises. No, you're sitting on the premises because you don't know what the promises are. But there are promises of God, and they are in him, yea, and they are in him, amen. And we can have healing, and we can have miracles if we would just do what the Word of God said and hide the Word of God in our heart. It is the power of God that will bring anointing into our life. It is the Word of the living God that will change us forever. Jesus said, you don't even know what you worship. You just worship. But he said, there's coming a time. And notice what he said. He said, there's coming a time, but now is the time. In other words, he said, the time's coming, but it's right now. But there's one coming after me going to finish the work. I'm going to start it right now. Hello? Isn't that a preacher? Do you really think that? Sure. Well, what makes you think they were heathens and perverted? Jesus said to the woman in the 16th verse, go call thy husband to come thither. The woman answered, said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and now the one whom you hast is not thy husband. Hello? He said, you done been married five times, now you're just living with somebody. Normal practice of these folks. Hello? But he left a place of anticipation. He said, I'm going to tell you something. And the woman heard, we got people that came, and for a while they believed, and they followed Jesus. So back in the back of their mind, somebody planted a seed that could grow into something even greater. Can I tell you, I may have bounced from church to church and from religion to religion, but the one thing happened, somebody planted a seed in my head somewhere that one day God could nurture into a harvest. I remember one night falling off a walkway drunk as a skunk, messed up on drugs, landed on the back of a car, and while I'm looking into the heavens, I was as sober as the day I was born, and God spoke to me and said, when you see the stars, the handiwork of my fingers, you know there is a God somewhere. I don't know where that came from, but in some Sunday school class or some sermon somebody preaching put that in my brain, and when I needed to hear it, God brought it back to my remembrance, and the next thing you know, I'm in an altar to church giving my heart to God because I realize there is a God somewhere who loves me, who cares about me, who wants to save me. Woo! We keep talking about what God's going to do. We've got the anticipation, but isn't it about time we move beyond the anticipation to the harvest? Oh, Lord. I see these pictures on the side of the highway. It never fails. If I've eaten, it don't bother me. But you let me get hungry and pass one of them steaks, I'm dreaming about it. I'm going down the highway. I want a steak. I want to say, why? Because I'm anticipating something that's going to cure my hunger. You know, there's one thing I know for sure. If I find a magazine with a picture in it and eat that picture, I'm still going to be hungry. Because that picture is not the real thing. And all the anticipation in the world is not going to get rid of my hunger. But if we would start to look for it, make our way to the place where it's at, sit down at a table and say, bring me that steak and begin to partake. Can I tell you at that well, Jesus was telling the lady, there's coming a time. I'm giving you the seed, but somebody's coming. Can I tell you, over 40 years, there's been seed planted in this church, and it's time for the harvest. It's time for the church to come forward and let a miracle happen in our midst. Stand with me all over the house. God's ready to do a work in some of your families. God's ready to do a work on some of your loved ones you didn't think could ever get saved. but it's not going to happen until you let go of the ties of yesterday and keep hanging on to what's always been and let God take you to something new, a fresh anointing, a fresh power, a fresh move of His Spirit. Some of you are stuck in persecution and you're so messed up with what's going on, you can't see what God's trying to do in your life. You're looking in the mirror having a pity party when you ought to be rejoicing. Too many of us listen to the doctor's report and it outcries the word of God. Hello? Too many of us see our circumstances and don't realize God's ready to change them just as soon as we let Him have control of our lives. We say, well, preacher, if you had a clue. Most of y'all know I've got a real good clue. I'm not talking to you about somebody that's not experiencing what I'm talking about. I could be sitting looking in the mirror going, oh, it just feels sorry for me. Oh, it's bad. And I've done that till I was sick of doing it. And then I realized God's still moving. God's still on the throne. Oh, that doctor looked at me. He said, there's an 80% chance your cancer's coming back. I said, 20% chance it ain't, and I'm betting on the 20. He looked at me like I was crazy as a Bessie bug, but he can't find it anymore. He keeps telling me it's going to be back, but he can't find it anymore. Come on, church. So what are you talking about? I'll take 20% with God any day. Come on, church. What are you talking about? I got a God that can take 20% and make 200% out of it. I'm not worried about it. I know God's going to take care of me either way it goes around. You say, what are you getting at? We got to take the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't care about the fire because either way I'm winning. I'm coming out walking or I'm coming out flying, but I'm not going down anymore. Because my God is a great God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I'd ever ask or think. God did not send me to this church to be status quo. I ain't never been in my life. God sent me here to take this church to the next level. And for that to happen, some of y'all got to go with me. And that means you got to let go and say, realize there's more to this than what I've ever felt like before. There's more to this than I've ever dreamed. And if you let go, God's got a miracle. Father, I thank you today for your love, for your grace. Please touch us with your glory today, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Have your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.